Hi, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Staltari, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. I have been featuring Les Filles du Roi in each episode over the last year or so, trying to get to know these amazing women in as much depth as I possibly can. I intend on doing all 700 of them, so bear with me. We're on episode number 99 today, so we will be looking at her in a moment. Now remember, please subscribe and click on the notifications and learn if this is a subject you would like to get to know. I also have all the past episodes on my website, haverootswilltravel.com, where you can click on the link for your particular Filles du Roi that you're looking for. Regular viewers know that I have produced a video called The Program, The King's Daughters 2.0, and have a look at that if you need to know more information about the program and how it unfolded, if you will. It'll give you a good insight into your ancestor. Today's Filles du Roi is Denise Mergui, and she was a viewer request. I do not have her in any of my files, so I'm always excited when a viewer suggests one, because then I've never seen her, I've never explored her story. So let's get to know Denise a little bit better. Denise was born in Paris on the Rue Saint-Paul. Her father, Pierre Mergui, was a fencing master, and her mother was Jeanne Laurel. Denise would have been born in 1654, so she would have been baptized in the Church Saint-Paul, which was actually a fairly new church in Paris, built between 1627 and 1641. Now, she is born in the 4th arrondissement of Paris, which is also known as Hôtel de Ville, and is found on the right bank of the River Seine. This particular place has been inhabited since, you know, first century BC. So there's a lot of really, really old things in this particular arrondissement, okay? The 4th arrondissement contains also the Renaissance era Paris City Hall, which was built between 1874 and 1882. It contains the Place des Vosges, and then just really, it's really a kind of an historic place where you have a lot of, it's known for its like little streets and cafes and shops, but it's very, very congested, you know. But if you want to look at old buildings and get a sense of the Paris that was, this is the place to go. So this is where Denise is coming from, that kind of culture and historical place. So let's have a look at where she ends up. Well, after her father's death, she came on the last ship carrying Les Filles du Roi, L'Espérance, which means the wish, the hope, September 3rd, 1673. She was about, I would say, 19 years old. She actually ended up in Montreal, and she stayed with at the Maison Saint-Gabriel. Let me show you a little bit about, or tell you a little bit about the Maison Saint-Gabriel, which I intend to visit next year because it's still in existence. It was founded by Marguerite Bourgeois, who is the founder of the Congrégation de Notre-Dame de Montréal, which is pictured on the right, on the left, sorry. She was by far the most influential woman in Quebec and certainly Montreal's history. She was born in France in 1620. And in 1653, at the age of 33, she was invited to come to New France and establish a religious congregation and a school by none other than Paul de Chomedy, Sieur de Maisonneuve, the governor of the French settlement at Montreal. She established the Notre Dame congregation and helped organize its church. The governor allowed her to use his stable as the first schoolhouse, and this in turn became the first public school in Montreal. By 1663, she continued her work with the Filles du Roi by using the farm she purchased on Point Saint-Charles to feed the poor and create a source of revenue for the church. The Filles du Roi would come here and receive instruction on their new lives, including cooking and sewing, and the sisters, the nuns, would oversee the selections of the husbands. Marguerite would continue until her death, creating educational and religious institutions that would help the struggling town of Ville-Marie which would one day become the mighty Montreal. Marguerite Bourgeois was made a saint in 1982. She was the first Canadian woman to be canonized. So it's just a remarkable day. And this, Denise, path, you know, crossed paths with this remarkable woman. So I just love to tell this story. She selected, and who selected her, and who the nuns selected or approved of. His name was Jacques Quenneville. He was born June 14, 1653, in Rouen, Normandy. You can see Normandy circled up there. That is the region. And then we have Seine-Maritime, which is the county, the département, as we call it. And of course, Rouen being such a major city, it is right there on the map. He was baptized at Saint-Nicolas Church. His parents were Pierre Quenneville, and his mother's name was Jeanne Sacre-Sépé. I hope I'm saying that right. Rouen has an amazing historical story, and it was at one time the largest city in medieval Europe. It played such a prominent role in both English and French histories from the 11th to the 15th century. Joan of Arc was tried and burned alive here in 1431. That spot, that picture right above my head, that's the area that you need to visit to honor that great woman. Rouen is a city of such cultural and educational significance due to its museums and the cathedrals that are there. The University of Rouen at Normandy is renowned. And the church that he would have been baptized dated from the 12th century and was rebuilt between 1503 and 1533. And it is between what is now Rue Saint-Nicolas and Rue Croix de Fer. Just so you know, that Rue Saint-Nicolas, the Saint-Nicolas Street, and the Croix de Fer means railroad crossing. On the site of an earlier building that was lost to the fires, damaged in the French Revolution, as were so many churches, it was closed in 1791 and destroyed. In 1840. Some remains are visible in the building on the site. The steeple was moved to a place called Côte d'Ivoire, and the stained glass went to England, to a place in York. Of the 31 churches in the Rouen, five are active parishes today. So that gives you kind of a history of Rouen. So Jean and Denise were married February 12, 1674. So she arrived in September. That's a little bit longer than usual. And that gives you some of the influence, I think, of the Maison Saint-Gabriel. They just kind of sheltered these ladies and really made sure they were ready for the responsibilities. And that is the marriage record of Denise and Jean. So let's have a look at how their lives unfolded. Now, the family settled in Lachine. So you can see where I've circled Lachine, so give you an idea of where it is on the island or off island. The original owner of Lachine was Robert Cavalier de La Salle. His mission was to cultivate and colonize this area. Unfortunately, he didn't succeed as he was too focused on trying to find a passage to Asia. The area was originally named Saint-Sulpice, but the area was renamed Lachine as a kind of inside joke. Even Jacques Cartier, 100 years before, had been trying to find that passageway and named the rapids themselves Lachine Rapids. Eventually, the Lachine Canal was completed in 1825, which was something the citizens and the merchants had long wanted. It became a way to navigate very, very treacherous rapids. At its peak, the Lachine Canal would have 15,000 ships using its canal. So you can see kind of the canal, and this bottom is kind of a historical house, now houses a museum for early pioneers of Lachine, which of course they were. I was quite impressed when I saw the, what he ended up, Jean and Denise. I thought of them as a power couple. So he was a seigneurial court officer between 1681 and 1694. He was a tax collector from 1682, a jailer and a prison keeper from 1690 to 93, and a royal court officer from 1694 to 1701. Really amazing. Let's have a look at what this power couple produced as well. They produced, I guess it's 11 children. So let's have a look at each of them. We have Jeanne, who married Antoine Villeray and had seven children, all of whom made it to adulthood. We have Geneviève, who married Charles Brazeau and had six children, all of whom made it to adulthood. We have Catherine, who married Jean-Jacques Bizet and had one child before her early death at 24. We have Marie-Anne, who married Paul Lejeune and had eight children, all of whom made it to adulthood. We have Jean, who married Marie Denieux and had seven children, all of whom made it to adulthood. We have Pierre, who died young. We have Antoine, who died at 1 year of age. Antoine, the second Antoine, married Marie Bourdon and had two children, both of whom made it to adulthood. We have François, who married Thérèse Charbonneau and had six children, all of whom made it to adulthood. And Joseph died young. And then we have Jean-Baptiste, who married Madeleine Gilbert and had six children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Amazing, really. And we have the 1681 census of Jean Canéville, Denise Marier, sa femme, and then we have their children, Jeanne, Geneviève, Catherine, Marie, and they have domestiques. This is very interesting. Louis Rousseau, a 63-year-old man, and Maitrin Boudry, 45. So imagine this power couple with, I rarely see this so far. I haven't seen very many servants being part of a domestic. They have one gun and six arpents à balan. So they have a four or five acres. Given his, you know, his businesses and all that he was doing, that's about all he could, endure. And probably Louis and Maitrin were probably working the farm. And that's why that happened. So a sudden ending to a remarkable life. Jean died and was buried the 23rd of August, 1701 at Montreal. The fact that he died and was buried the same day suggests but does not confirm that he had a contagious disease of some kind. He and Denise were married 27 years. Just very remarkable. Later, Denise remarries a man named Jean Gilbert de La Framboise, who was born in 1651 in Bouquet, France. This is a copy of their marriage record. They were married in Montreal. And the fact that she waited 3 years indicates, you know, obviously that this was probably a love match and something that for companionship. She certainly probably didn't need financial support or any kind of guidance. Certainly he had been married before, had nine children. She had a total of probably about eight children living at that time. So it was definitely a big household. Denise would pass away on August 31st, 1721. She was probably about 65 years old. And we also want to note that she had been married now to Jean, her second husband, for about 16 years. So again, a very, very stable woman, was able to carry on after losing probably the love of her life. And just want to let you know that by 1729, she had 125 descendants, of which my viewer is one of them. And so I thank her for that opportunity. Let's have a look at some other resources that you can look at. We have La Société des Filles du Roi. We have the Quebec Genealogical E-Society, which I belong to. And I am also the membership chair, by the way, for La Société des Filles du Roi. We have number three, Nos Origines, fabulous website. I'm on it daily. Genealogie Quebec could not live without this. It is a paid subscription, but if you're doing Quebec research, nothing quite like it. We have Migration, which I love, which is a free website. And I donate, actually, because I'm so thankful that they do their work. And then we have Facebook. We have a Facebook group, Filles du Roi Descendants. I've posted all the links. Explore, explore, explore. And so ends episode number 99. Denise and Jean's legacy lives on with their 125 descendants that they had as of 1729. Would love to know how many are now. And after 200 years, they are the living legacy to this amazing couple who really were part of the founding of Montreal and were and Lachine and were able to truly build a very solid foundation. So with that, we thank them and we bless their memories. Until I see you on episode 100, au revoir.